Like Effect continues on WUWM. I'm Mitch Teich. Where were you 50 years ago today? It is a question that many people around the world are asking themselves. It was a half century ago on this day that the last assassination of a U.S. president took place, when Lee Harvey Oswald shot and killed President Kennedy in Dallas, Texas. There have been several attempts since on the lives of Gerald Ford and Ronald Reagan, but for all the political turmoil of those 50 years, no other presidents have died in office. JFK's 1960 defeat of Nixon ushered in a youthful, forward-thinking era in American politics, and his assassination sent the country into mourning and then itself ushered in the most turbulent part of the 60s. Lake Effect contributor Art Sear offers his take on Kennedy's legacy.
Shortly after the assassination of President John F. Kennedy in Dallas on November 22, 1963, CBS commentator Eric Severide noted the principal legacy of the murdered leader might well be an attitude, a contagious spirit that all things are possible if only we have the vision and will. In fact, JFK had important tangible accomplishments, as well as failures, during his brief tenure in office. Nonetheless, Severide was remarkably perceptive in emphasizing the emotional impacts of this president on the population. His shocking, grotesque murder continues to reverberate in our collective lives and culture, even after a half century. The administration's disastrous, failed invasion of Cuba at the Bay of Pigs dogged President Kennedy from the start and provided Soviet Premier Nikita Khrushchev with strong incentive to deploy offensive missiles on the island. Intense U.S. efforts to kill Fidel Castro, directly pressed by Attorney General Robert Kennedy, spurred Moscow. This led to the Cuban Missile Crisis of October 1962. In recent years, meetings between surviving officials from both sides in the confrontation have revealed that nuclear war was even closer than realized at that tense time. The president, a combat veteran of World War II, resisted powerful pressure to attack Cuba and was highly imaginative. He and his advisors were able to get the missiles out of Cuba through a blockade, combined with a secret Cuba-Turkey missile trade. Kennedy's outlook contrasts markedly with the administration of President George W. Bush regarding Iraq. In the aftermath of the missile crisis, Kennedy and Khrushchev achieved a treaty banning nuclear tests in the atmosphere, a major breakthrough. The U.S. Senate ratified the treaty with a bipartisan vote of 80-19. JFK had other success with Congress, including international trade legislation authority, key to the successful 1967 Kennedy-Round trade agreement. Two domestic issues always on the front burner were civil rights and organized crime, the former reflecting growing popular pressures, the latter the focus of driven RFK. JFK was careful on race relations, addressing the subject decisively only when pressed to do so by a massive public march on Washington. RFK was relentless in pursuit of the mafia, while simultaneously gangsters were recruited for the efforts to kill Castro. Dallas ended both these efforts. Regarding organized crime, a decade passed before the Nixon administration returned to prosecution, notably with the racketeer-influenced and corrupt organizations, so-called RICO legislation. People around Robert Kennedy were puzzled by his marked disinterest in possible conspiracy in the assassination. In hindsight, RFK no doubt avoided that dark, tangled path because he might come face-to-face with himself. Senator John Kennedy's book Profiles in Courage, about U.S. senators who put principle above political expediency, received the Pulitzer Prize. While critics cracked President Kennedy should show less profile and more courage, he actually demonstrated considerable personal strength. Professor Herbert Parmet has documented exceptionally serious health problems that plagued JFK from birth. Despite this, he managed to enlist in the U.S. Navy in World War II, then volunteered for hazardous PT boat duty. Severide's observation applies perhaps most tangibly to the American space program. President Kennedy early on made a dramatic public commitment to carry out a successful manned moon landing, including safe return to Earth. A number of technological innovations resulted from the mammoth space effort, including extreme miniaturization of electronics. Every time you turn on a computer or a cell phone, you're saying hello to JFK.
Lake Effect essayist Art Sear is a professor of political economy and world business and director of the Clausen Center for World Business at Carthage College in Kenosha. He's also an occasional Lake Effect contributor on foreign policy issues. Oscar winner, special effects whiz, and Kenosha native Jim Rigel talks about making the Lord of the Rings trilogy and more when Lake Effect returns on Milwaukee Public Radio.